Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. And while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right. And today's Trail Mix episode explores the scientific end of our show's curiosity, and it's all about the many cacti found at Saguaro National Park.
Okay, so what kinds of cacti did we see in Saguaro National Park?
Well, we saw saguaros.
We certainly did.
A ton. I think we also saw some paddle cactus. Like, maybe.
Maybe.
But I am not as good
with your cacti identification.
Yeah, girl, you better know your North American cacti.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, let's be clear here, right? While saguaro has more than just saguaro cacti, the most diverse national park for cacti is...
It's Big Bend.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Big Bend National Park. Y'all, yeah. Don't sleep on those desert parks.
No.
Those desert parks are special, and they are serving up things that are not being served up anywhere else in the whole world.
But maybe sleep on them from like May to September.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe then. Maybe then.
Maybe don't go then.
Go to the higher elevation winter parks.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What other wildlife did we see in Saguaro?
I mean, we saw mule deer.
We did. We saw rattlesnakes. We wanted to see javelina. Those were kept from me. I was unable to see those.
Because mm-hmm. I was mean that day, apparently.
No, I'm kidding.
You saw them later when you were back in Tucson.
Back in Tucson, mm-hmm. we saw javelina. Yes. Yeah. Well, we thought we might see them out on the trail because aren't those so much fun? They look mm-hmm. like warthogs, mm-hmm. but
they're in the squirrel family, right?
They are. In the rodent family.
Rodent family.
Yeah, which are squirrels are also in the rodent family, right?
I believe so.
Anyway, so yeah, technically, I guess they are squirrel friends. Mm-hmm. There is like a place where they preserve them in Saguaro mm-hmm. that is not technically in the park, but adjacent to the park that one can go to.
Mm-hmm.
We also saw quite a few hummingbirds.
We did. We saw quail.
Quail. Lots of cacti, like Gila woodpecker. That mm-hmm. was a
Gila monster.
We saw Gila monster too.
Yeah.
Which we knew at the time, Gila monsters are very poisonous and dangerous, but they're so chill. There's like nothing about them that's like, I don't know. They don't scream danger the way like a snake screams danger to
me.
But
they're dangerous.
But they're super dangerous.
All right. Now that we've talked a little bit about the wildlife we saw in Saguaro National Park, let's start our exploration with the location of Saguaro National Park. This park, named for the saguaro cactus, is nestled right inside the Sonoran Desert, which globally would be considered rather small, but it is the third largest desert in North America behind the Chihuahuan Desert and the Great Basin Desert.
Pause right there. The Chihuahuan Desert is the largest desert in North America.
Oh, look at that.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild. And that is part of Big Bend, or Big Bend is in the Chihuahuan Desert.
So is White Sands.
Yeah. Yep.
So are Guadalupe Mountains National mm-hmm. Park.
But the Sonoran Desert is considered the second largest hot desert in North America.
And while it may have that ranking, it is considered the most biologically diverse desert due to the flora and fauna that are not only found here, but also sustain life here for many years. This is likely due to another superlative that is owed to the Sonoran Desert, which is that it is considered the world's wettest desert, given the fact that it receives rain twice a year, both during winter months and summer months. This makes sense that it has been given this title of most biologically diverse desert in the world, given its access to consistent water. To date, researchers have identified over 100 types of reptiles, over 300 birds, more than 60 mammals, 30 types of fish, and 20 types of amphibians.
Let's now look at the saguaro cacti and why they've inspired the name for this park. In many ways, the choice to name the park Saguaro was similar to the inspiration behind the name of another national park nearby. And while you might be thinking the Grand Canyon, we are in fact talking about Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree National Park is named for the very specific tree that only grows in that exact spot in the entire world. Saguaro is similar. Saguaro cacti only grow here and can only be found in this spot in the Sonoran Desert.
Back in the 1930s, cacti advocates lobbied President Herbert Hoover to preserve the area for fear that the cacti would be demolished and continued westward expansion. And they felt that the cacti served as a, quote, symbol of the Western frontier, end quote. In 1933, it was established by Herbert Hoover as a national monument. In 1965, John F. Kennedy added an additional 25 square miles to the park. And then in 1994, it was established officially as a national park. To date, there are over 2 million saguaro cacti across the park's 93,000 acres.
A saguaro cactus can grow up to around 40 feet. The tallest recorded was 80 feet tall, and the current tallest in the park is over 50 feet. They weigh around 2 tons and can live for up to 200 years. The oldest saguaro on record was called Old Granddaddy, and it lived for about 300 years and died in the 1990s. At the time of its death, it had 55 arms.
And while saguaro is the name of the park and an abundant cactus found in this area, the park boasts over 25 species of cacti. Okay, so here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Given that there are so many different kinds of cacti and that saguaro is the only type of cactus shaped the way it is shaped, why is it, do you think, that when we think of cacti and the shape of cacti, that most of the time people associate the shape of a saguaro cacti with just sort of general cactus? Mm.
I think it has to do probably with westward expansion and the fact that as people move further west, there weren't deciduous trees, and trees give height and variation to landscape. Obviously, the west has more topography than parts of the east do. That's not exclusively true, but I feel like that cacti stands out because it's height and there's dominance to it. It's very big. I mean, you can walk up, yes, to a cacti where the trunk of it is as wide as some wide tree trunks. So I think for me, that would be my guess, is mm-hmm. that it has to do with its prominence and height and the landscape.
Interesting. Yeah. I think it has to do with height. I mean, I'm sure it also has to do with like images and textbooks that were there when we were,
sure,
all in elementary school.
Of course.
And like the images that are used to describe different types of biodiversity, I would imagine that if you were to Google cactus,
the first thing that would come up would
be going to be a saguaro, likely. Or if people draw cactus,
yeah, if you ask
Pictionary,
a kid to draw a cactus,
they're probably,
yeah,
going to draw a saguaro cactus.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
There's,
I think,
also,
it's very.
Oh. I was just going to say there's also got to be something to the fact that there are so many of them and they all grow right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only place that they grow.
Right.
And they're very, very special and very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they also pack lore with them because you can't find them anywhere else.
Sure. They have lore.
They do.
Yeah.
And lore is memorable.
Yeah.
A little more about the saguaro cactus. Its scientific name is Carnegiea giantea, which means giant candle, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They do not thrive in freezing temperatures, so they are only found in this particular spot in the Sonoran Desert and grow at around 5,000 feet in elevation, and typically on sloped hills that are south-facing, which makes sense because we mentioned that in our most recent episode on Wasson Peak,
mm-hmm,
that the bloom and the cacti were mostly on south-facing slopes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A saguaro cactus grows very slowly, only getting to around a couple of inches tall within the first decade of its life. Saguaros grow in conjunction with what is called the nurse tree, a tree that protects the saguaro during winter months. Mesquite trees, ironwoods, and Palo Verde trees often serve as nurse trees to growing saguaros. By the time the saguaro reaches adulthood, these trees have long died.
My little theory is that this is where we get the lore of the giving tree.
Oh.
Because this nurse tree helps make sure this cactus grows up to,
okay,
adulthood and then just slowly withers away.
A
saguaro is typically considered in its adulthood at around 125 years old. Their signature arms or branches begin to appear at around 60 to 75 years old, with some appearing not until 100 years old, especially if they grow in low rain zones. This means that every saguaro you see with an arm or a branch is easily over 75 years old and likely even older. It is also a flowering cactus, receiving their first blooms at around 35 years old. This is certainly a helpful age indicator for researchers and scientists. The bloom of the saguaro is also the state flower of Arizona.
Saguaros have a wide but shallow root system. This allows them to store a surplus of water during rain season. They store so much water in their trunks that each foot of a saguaro cactus weighs about 80 pounds. Their trunks are called pleated and resemble a fluted Greek column, with pleats running up and down their trunks. These pleats on the outside represents the ribs that run up and down the trunk on the inside. These ribs move depending on the water consumption, causing the pleats to expand and contract when water is taken in and then used. Sometimes a fork occurs in the ribbing, also causing a split in the pleating.
Saguaro also benefit and serve the wildlife of their surroundings. According to researchers and scientists with the National Park Service, back when that was funded, quote, the gilded flicker and Gila woodpecker excavate nest cavities inside the saguaro's pulpy flesh. When a woodpecker abandons a cavity, elf owls, screech owls, purple martins, finches, and sparrows may move in. Large birds like the harrises and red-tailed hawks also use the saguaro for nesting and hunting platforms. Their stick nests are constructed among the arms of a large saguaro. In turn, ravens and great horned owls, that's us, may take over an abandoned hawk nest. Saguaro cacti also provide a valuable source of food for animals. In midsummer, ripening fruit provides moisture and an energy-rich food during a time of scarcity. In drier areas of the Sonoran Desert, pack rats, jackrabbits, mule deer, and bighorn sheep will also eat the saguaro's flesh when other food and water sources are not available. End quote. Now, I do have to say, I did get to meet an elf owl when I was in Tucson earlier this year. And they are so small. They are literally only about 4 inches high. Mm-hmm. They look like, they don't even look real. Mm-hmm. And this little elf owl's name was Elfie.
Oh.
I know.
The process for producing another saguaro cactus have similar odds to that of a sequoia tree. And if you check out our trail mix on sequoia trees, you'll hear about how incredibly rare that is for a sequoia tree to make it to adulthood. Saguaro produce many seeds, which are available in the blossoms, that pops out of them during the spring bloom. Flowers typically open at night and close in the afternoon. This means that pollinators like birds, insects, and bats have a small window for pollination. When these seeds are pollinated, they turn into fruit. These fruits contain between 2,500 and 3,000 seeds. When animals consume these fruits, two things can happen. Like with the coyote and cactus wren, they consume the fruits and the seeds pass through their digestive system and through their animal waste, the seeds find another area to potentially grow. But with other animals, like quails or doves, the seeds don't make it through their digestive systems, thus eliminating any chance of reproduction.
Another special circumstance for a saguaro is when the cactus grows into a crested shape. This is rare, and it kind of looks like a saguaro cactus taking the shape of an alluvial fan. While there are upwards of 2 million saguaro in the park, there are only about 25 crested saguaros in this park, which means, technically speaking, there are only about 25 crested saguaros in the world. Mm. We did not see any crested saguaros. Mm-hmm. Now, what that looks like is, it sort of looks like at the top of one of their columns, right? Their trunks or one of their main arms, that suddenly, it's like a whole bunch of arms are like growing out into a like fan-like shape. Mm. And it's wild and it is unlike anything you've ever seen. And it is, again, it is 25 out of 2 million.
I mean, we definitely saw a bunch that had crowns where there were just a ton of arms coming out from the same sort of level of the cactus.
Yes, it did look like a crown.
Where it sort of became a crown, but no, we did not see a crested saguaro.
And then we also saw plenty of saguaro that were younger, that had no arms, that were just sort of columns coming out of the ground.
Our height or smaller.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they were all over. Now, before we get into the next section of this, what other types of cacti do you remember seeing?
Well, we did see some, so we talked about this at the beginning, but I just remembered that we also saw some barrel cactus. Mm-hmm. We also saw some cholla too.
Correct.
Yeah, but that's end of list.
Hey Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Well, let's play a game to learn all about the other cacti that appear here in Saguaro National Park. Okay, Mike, are you ready to learn about all the other cacti that are in Saguaro National Park?
I sure am.
Okay, because where there is one cactus, there is usually many types of other cacti.
There sure are.
That's right.
And other types of desert plants.
Many types of desert plants.
Yeah.
Which, no lie, we're not even going to get into all the other desert plants that are in Saguaro, but...
Because there's a ton.
You heard about the mesquite tree, the Palo Verde, and the ironwoods that serve as nurse trees to saguaros. Those are certainly all over. But again, it is the most biologically diverse desert in the entire world. So there is sustained life everywhere.
Yes.
Okay, so Mike, here's how this game works. I've written some Jeopardy-style trivia to help you guess the names of some of the cacti found in Saguaro National Park.
Great.
Once you guess it, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about some other related cacti to that one you guessed.
Beautiful.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. So, for 100, this sounds like a cactus that looks like a teddy bear, but that you might receive on December 25th.
What's a Christmas cactus?
Yes, oh, but sorry. It looks like a teddy bear, so be more specific.
What's a Christmas bear cactus?
There's a type of cactus that's called a teddy bear this, and it's that kind of cactus. You just said this type of cactus a few minutes ago.
What's a Choya Christmas cactus?
What is a Christmas Choya?
Christmas
Correct.
Choya.
All right. You got there. Okay, so a Choya cactus. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's remember what Choyas look like.
They're like teddy bears.
They do look like teddy bears, but what is specific about them is that they have lots of spines. They're like...
They do, but they also have like... Their sections are kind of like... I'm trying to figure out the best way to describe
them.
Like
they are kind of... They look a little bit like... Whereas
puffy. Like puffy sections, I guess.
Some cacti have like, you know, spines that come out. They have so many. It's like they're covered in them. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like cross one another and it's like spine chaos.
Yeah.
Throughout them. And
it's a good band name.
Spine chaos. Exactly. They don't get to be the size nearly of a saguaro cactus. They're a little lower to the ground and it's easier to run into them for sure. Spines are technically an adaptation of leaves, which is, I think, wild.
That is wild.
Right? And so but obviously they're very sharp.
Yeah.
And if you touch them, they're super sharp. They can like dig right in.
Oh, yeah.
And Choyas actually, because they have so many spines, actually look really soft.
They are not.
Do not touch them. They are not soft. Okay. So in addition to Christmas Choya, other types of Choya cactus you can find here are pencil Choya, buckhorn Choya, teddy bear Choya, chain fruit Choya, staghorn Choya, and cane Choya.
Hmm.
All right. Are we ready for the next question?
We sure are.
Okay. This cactus sounds like if you were to make this flat breakfast food item with a sharp hourglass fruit.
What's a pancake pear cactus?
Oh my God. So close. What kind of pear? What kind of pear cactus?
What's a pancake pear-shaped cactus?
No, but what do you call it? It's like, oh, come on. She'll do it on the spinning wheel.
She'll weave. She'll spin yarn.
She'll prick her finger on the spinning wheel.
Okay.
And that is what will happen to Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
So a prickly pear.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
So what is the pancake prickly pear cactus? So, okay, let's talk about prickly pear for a second. Yeah.
They're fairly common, right?
Very common.
I think we have them here in New Jersey.
Somewhere.
I think we can have cacti here, and I think prickly pears are kind of the most common cacti.
Cacti are known to grow in heat, which is why they grow so often in a desert. Mm-hmm. We also saw a lot of cacti in St. John, which is a tropical area.
Yeah.
And recently, and we were like shocked that there was cacti there, but it makes sense because cacti thrive in heat.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously that's a very hot area.
Yeah, yeah.
New Jersey is now considered a subtropical.
Yeah. Thanks, climate change.
Thanks, climate change. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it makes sense that cacti can grow here. So yes, prickly pear, oftentimes they have pieces bitten out of them because the animals will like bite them to like get the water out of them.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like it's true that they taste good or something. But in addition to a pancake prickly pear, there's also the standard prickly pear cactus, also the Engelmann prickly pear, beaver tail prickly pear, and the cow tongue prickly pear cactus. Okay, are we ready for 300?
Sure.
Okay. This cactus sounds like if you were to take the sharp metal piece at the end of a rod and reel that holds the bait and jab it into a small, soft, but tough pillow that fits in your hand so that the pointed ends aren't exposed. I'd say start with the end of that clue. The small little pillow that you hold that you like jab.
Pincushion?
Thank you. Yes.
What's a hook pincushion cactus?
We're taking it. That is correct. Okay. What is a fish hook pincushion cactus?
Okay.
So a fish hook pincushion cactus, or generally speaking pincushion cacti, they sort of appear. It's like if a barrel cactus appears by itself, pincushion cacti appear in small groups. But it's like if a bunch of barrel cacti were small and they were in a group together and they grow all next to each other.
Okay.
And they flower from the top. And so a fishhook pincushion cactus gets its name from the fact that the spines at the top that come out curve around like a fishhook. And I think we saw quite a few pincushion cactus while we were there because that was definitely something that was on the ground and around because whenever you're in a desert park, you have to look where you're stepping because cacti are very close to the trail.
Yeah.
So in addition to a fishhook pincushion, there's also the McDougal pincushion, Thornburg pincushion, and green flower pincushion cactus. So for all of the, you know, folks out there who are nerds for cacti, you're going to nerd out real hard.
And McDougal. Right. The McDougal cacti.
And speaking of, there is a type of fishhook barrel cactus, as well as California barrel cactus, that can be found there. Okay, are we ready for the next clue?
Sure.
Okay. This cactus found in Saguaro sounds like a member of a current diva fandom and whose favorite album could be Lemonade or Renaissance.
What's the Beyonce cactus?
What's the name of the Queen Bee cactus? The fandom.
What's a beehive cactus?
There you go. Uh-huh. It is the beehive cactus, which is a smaller cactus, but it has hexagonal shapes in it that like the spines come out of. Mm-hmm. And so it is called a beehive cactus. Mm-hmm. Other one-off cactuses like this that exist in Saguaro National Park are rainbow cactus, the claret cup cactus, and the organ pipe cactus. Mm-hmm. Now, here's something about the organ pipe cactus that I want to talk about.
Sure.
Is that is not native. That organ pipe cactus is not native to Saguaro National Park. Mm. And there is only one of them.
Oh.
There is one organ pipe. And it's like a larger cactus that looks like giant organ pipes growing out of the ground.
Yeah.
And there's only one of them. And it's theorized that like a bird dropped a seed there and it happened to thrive.
Yeah.
Because it does not grow there. But
there's a whole monument, National Monument, for Oregon pipe cactus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's not here.
Not in Saguaro.
No.
No, no.
Finally, this cactus gets its name from an aria in Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, which is also named for the character who sings it and is reminiscent of her dark, brooding attitude toward everything.
What's the Queen of the Night cactus?
That's correct. There it is. You have to do the...
Not high enough.
Almost, baby girl.
No, it's okay. I'm not a trained opera singer.
No, but that is very famous aria, very tough. But the Queen of the Night cactus looks a little different than any of the other ones because they're the trunk and branches are really thin, and then they have these flowering white flowers that come out of the top. They're very spindly, and they literally just look like white sunflowers sometimes because their flowers are big, and they just look like they have big, long branches.
Oh.
So that is the Queen of the Night cactus. And some other cactus that you can find in Saguaro National Park are also Scarlet Hedgehog and Pink Hedgehog cactus. Hmm. I think these are really important to mention because we did see them. Whenever we see like a group of cactus that look like small barrel cactuses in a cluster, but they have sort of like a red or pink like color over the top of them, that's a hedgehog cactus.
Oh.
That's either a pink or a scarlet hedgehog cactus, which they're named for the types of like the colors of the flowers that come out of them and also the sort of color that they generally have over them.
Sure.
And then finally, an Indian fig cactus. Those are all of the types of cacti that can be seen in Saguaro National Park. So when we go back to Saguaro at some point, knowing that all of these are here, that's the game that I want to play.
Yeah.
Is let's
identify,
find all of them and see all of them.
Yeah.
And I really want to go find that organ pipe cactus.
Yeah.
The sources for today's episode include the article The Sonoran Desert and Saguaro National Park, Arizona, by Heather Fiziok from hpconservation.com.
The article, this southwestern national park is the world's wettest desert, with over 2 million iconic towering cacti, by Lydia Mansell from travelandleisure.com.
The article, Saguaro National Park, by Janine Ungvarsky.
The article, Saguaro National Park boasts more than 24 cactus species, by Douglas Kreutz from tucson.com.
The National Park Service and its resources on Saguaro National Park.
And the article from the winner of the Young Naturalists Award for his essay, Saguaro Cactus, From Life to Death, by Kyle of Arizona in grade 7 from the American Museum of Natural History. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.